Hey.
Hola, señor, ¿cómo estás?
Yeah, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. What are you up to?
Did you ever see a movie called Honey, I Blew Up the Kids?
Yes, I have.
I'm showing it to my nephews, and they're just really enjoying it. They really liked Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah, this is the one where the parents get.
No, that's the third one, I think. Honey, we blew ourselves up.
Yeah,
This is Honey, I Blew Up the Kid.
I have seen it, which where they become big. Can you grab a chair? Okay. They become big or something? Is that it?
I think this one is where they blow up the kid and he goes to Las Vegas and terrorizes people.
Great. Is Rick Moranis in
Yeah.
it? Good. Good old Rick.
Yeah, he kind of bowed out of acting and decided to, I guess, be a normie.
Yeah. Good for him.
That's gonna be hard for him.
Well, he's been doing it for
Abby.
25 years or
Trying to
so.
be normal.
Or just get out of the Hollywood scene. Yeah.
Hey,
What you
Caldwell.
do today? What you been up to today?
Working hard for the money, my brother.
All right.
They had some interviews, so I'm hoping that'll turn into more
Boys.
people working.
Yeah.
About you?
Oh, I had to go down into Dallas today, take Will to a counselor session, and then we spent some time down in Dallas and then got a phone call. The kids weren't one of the kids wasn't feeling well, so I went and got the kids from school and just been a
Dad life.
struggle today. I've just been a bus today. I've been driving people around.
I'm changing locations because of the noise.
Yeah. What about you, Papa? What have you been up to today?
I went and hung out at the center and worked on, cleaned up some 1600 genealogy first. Then I went and hung out at the center. And over here, involved in murder
Now you
mystery and 810.
went to the center. You did not say you were hanging out with sinners. You said you went to the center.
No, I didn't. I hung out with sinners at the center. Yep.
Oh,
That's it.
Yep. Did a little testifying. A lot of fun. I had a lot of fun.
it's the funniest thing, Clyde. This is the second week in a row where your volume is just, it goes in and out.
Oh, that's couldn't possibly be true.
I can hear Chris Fluitt perfect, and you're right next to him, and your audio is just wonky.
Wonder why. Is it wonky right now?
Not right now. I guess you're closer now.
Maybe I am.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, you're good.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
You
I
cut
can
out
hear
at
you
the
though.
end. It's so weird. Now you're cutting out.
I can
I
hear
don't know.
you very well.
I don't know. I don't know.
That's on. Something wrong with his voice, I guess.
So I've been reading, I read a little bit of Second Samuel the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just funny how you've read this before, but when you read it again, it hits different.
Yeah. What is it? What
Well,
hit?
he's talking about Samuel running from Absalom and his climbing the Mount of Olives, and just he's so contrite. He's got his head covered and he's barefoot, and Shimei of the family of Saul is cursing him, and he just says, "Let him curse me, the Lord bid him." And just seeing David kind of contrite, I've never really seen him as that side of his kingship where he's really down and he's really low. He's really going through it.
Yeah.
Of course, you told me about Ahithophel, his counselor, and how the Jews believe that he's Bathsheba's grandfather,
Yeah. Not wild.
and how he everybody trusted him. They said his advice was as the oracles of God. Everybody trusted him,
Yep.
man. But he aligned himself with Absalom. I guess he thought that was the future.
Yeah,
But
well, I think bitterness overtook him. That's what most people, how
well,
they take that.
you know what? His first thing he advised Absalom to do was to sleep with David's concubines on the roof.
On the roof, yep.
So that's a pretty big callback.
Yep, to the very to the scene of the crime, as they say.
And he was killed, right?
He committed suicide.
Oh.
Yeah, really wild. And then David sends a counselor into Absalom's
Yeah.
circle. And who is that counselor? Do you remember?
It Hushai or something like that?
Very good. That's
Very
it.
good.
Yeah. And Absalom doesn't listen to Ahithophel, but listens to Hushai. And Ahithophel commits suicide.
Well, Ahithophel, he wanted to prevent civil war, which is honorable, but he not in a good way, because he said, look, give me the men and I'll go and I'll slay David personally. I'll just end it right then and there, and nobody else has to die. So you can see some good intentions mixed with evil. You know what I'm saying? It's very complex.
Yeah. What he wanted most was for David to die. What he wanted. And guess what? That wasn't God's plan. That was not going to happen. He wanted the one thing God would not let happen at that point.
Which was pretty, not very right out of counsel.
Yeah. He was against the wisdom of God there.
Yeah. They fought too highly.
Yeah. Hey, I'll be right back. I'll check my phone.
Are you charging it?
Yeah, I just want to make sure that no one's texting me.
I've invited a whole bunch of people.
Including
Linus.
I mentioned it to Mom. I was gonna wait till prayer request to kind of give y'all an update.
You don't think she would sign on? Did you send her a link?
I can try. I told her about it. Let me send her the link.
You should. I think somebody else will get on in a minute, Darlene. And
well, and if they don't, we're hanging out anyway. No big deal. People busy.
I even invited
Mark is right here. Did you not see that?
Nope.
Since I walked off, Mark.
Hello, Mark.
Oh, you gotta remember. Mr. Mark, he's logging on.
I invited Liz.
All right. Oh man, yeah, there's so many little stories in the Bible that it's easy to forget of, and then you just like need a constant reminder on them and constantly reading them. Hushai and Ahithophel, amazing.
And then when you read about Elijah. There's Obed. No, Obadiah.
Yeah.
Who hid the 100 prophets in the cave.
Yeah.
He was in charge of Ahab's house, I think, but he feared God.
Yeah.
All sorts of side characters nobody talks about.
Yeah, and that's Obadiah, the minor prophet.
You think they're the same, one and the same?
I've always thought so. I could be wrong, but I thought they were. Mark, how are you, man?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. I'm doing great.
Excellent. How's work?
Work is actually pretty good. Work is pretty good.
That's good to
hear. I'm not making any progress, but work is pretty good.
Don't keep doing work.
Yeah, I can relate.
Is it freezing up there yet? Have you had a freeze yet?
Have you had a freeze yet? Has it gotten cold?
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, I couldn't hear what you said. Today was t-shirt weather. Today was t-shirt weather. Wow. I'm told that tonight is, so today was going to be the last above 70 day of the year. And from here on in, it's going to get colder and colder.
So I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah. It was a day that God made.
Yeah, all right. That's good. Hey, Cleta's jumping in. See Cleta.
Cleta all the way from Scotland?
No, I think Cleta's back now.
Cleta. No, she's in Scotland.
Oh, man. You've been reading anything cool in the Word of God, Mark? Learning anything or have any questions about anything?
I haven't, my Bible's over there, buried underneath the pile of clothes. I've been not reading it. I've been religiously not reading it. That's the right answer, right?
Move it to the top, man.
Move it to closer to where I'm at.
Make it so that you have to read it before you do laundry. That'll get it done. Cleta, how are you? She's on there. I can't hear her, though. She's here. I can't hear her. That's all right. She's probably driving. She's back in the Metroplex.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You could get that fast.
Oh, she can. She's speedy. She can do that. She can do all things through Christ. Excellent. Any question? Any Bible questions that you got, Mark?
Yeah, not right now. Maybe when I start reading it again.
Yeah. Cleta hit me with a good question the other day. It was really good. She was talking to a Jewish person, and they asked, if Messiah came to earth, why would he ever leave?
Because this is where our home is going to be. Our home is going to be where he is now.
Cleta left. I think I offended her. I'm kidding. I think whatever. Yeah. So we talked about that. Anybody have a good answer for that?
Cheeseburger? Yeah, he went to prepare a place for us.
That's part of it for sure. Cheeseburger, you got an answer for that?
Well, the Holy Spirit came.
That's part of it. That's all of this is true. Now the Jewish person would go, Holy Spirit, you know. But there's Old Testament things to point to for a Jew. And that's really good.
Yeah. In Genesis chapter 1, there's the plurality.
Okay. Of Elohim, plurality. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I told Cleta, this is what I told her. There's two terms that the Jews use. Ben Yosef, it's like Ben Joseph, and Ben David. And they feel like there are these two pictures of the Messiah. One of them is as a suffering servant. That's Ben Yosef. They refer to that picture as Ben Yosef. And then there's another picture of a conquering king, and that's Ben David. Ben Yosef, you see clearly in Isaiah 53. Ben David, that picture of a conquering king, you see that in Daniel 7, I think, where he's coming on the clouds and the whole world sees him. And so the answer here is that you've got one Messiah, but he's got two comings that are completely different. And he came the first time as Ben Yosef, as a suffering servant, born in obscurity in Bethlehem of a virgin. And that's all prophecy in the Old Testament, and they'll be aware of that. But also, he is supposed to come as a conquering king riding on a cloud, and that's the coming to come. That's when he comes as Ben David. So there's one answer straight from the Old Testament. Another thing to tie into what you talked about, how he goes to prepare a place for you, that is language of a wedding. That's wedding language. So you could point to the Jewish custom of marriage ceremonies, that the groom comes the first time to ask the bride to marry him. He then leaves and he comes back in a surprise. And while he's gone away, he prepares a place for them to live. And he comes back with the surprise, and there's trumpet soundings. It could happen at any time, day or night. And so that's clearly Jesus Christ, first coming and second coming. Anyway, that was interesting, I thought. I got that question, I guess, earlier this week. Yeah. Anything else y'all want to talk about?
I could talk about Obadiah.
Talk about Obadiah, Dad.
Well, Obadiah was actually...
First off, does everyone hear his words that are coming out?
He needs to be more central on the yeah.
Where is the speaker?
Talk right there.
You mean I need to look up?
There you go. Oh, I can hear you perfectly there.
Well, Obadiah was a very wealthy Edomite. Isn't that amazing?
And he was actually one of the three captains that went against Elijah.
Question, bonus question. Edomites are descendants of who?
Esau.
Boom, Esau. That was very good.
I read that part.
All right. And he was one of the three captains that went against Elijah. But then he was hired or taken in by Jezebel and Ahab and was working with them. And he hid 100 prophets from Jezebel. He put them in two caves. So if she caught him in one cave, then the other cave could escape. And after his work for that, the Jews believed that God blessed him and called him to be a prophet after that. And then he's the one who wrote the book of Obadiah.
Wow.
So that's a pretty colorful history.
An Edomite prophet.
An Edomite prophet.
That's pretty cool. There's one to remember the next time. Bible question.
And also, doesn't the Bible say God hated Esau?
Oh, very good. Yeah.
He hated him so much, he raised up one of his children to be one of the great prophets.
Very good. And we know how people use that scripture, right? Malachi says it in chapter 1, and then Paul talks about it.
Christopher, you and Clyde have reversed places in the sound.
Uh-oh.
I can understand Clyde perfectly now. Now Christopher is the one cutting.
We'll try it one more time. Now we good?
Yeah.
I think it's maybe the angle of the screen. I don't know. Doesn't want us to share computers.
Can you afford one each?
Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And some people take that prophecy from Malachi and echoed by Paul in Romans 9 to preach a Calvinistic predetermination that in the womb of their mother, God decided, I love Jacob, I'm going to hate Esau. And so they use that in that regard. But as Dad just pointed out, there's an Edomite prophet. That's pretty cool. It kind of shuts that down too, I think. Dad, if you're gonna jump on, you need to leave the room because it'll feedback.
Okay. I only have 15%.
All right, we won't do that. Go to the other room. I'll push.
Did you just evict your dad?
Well, I can't help it.
Go close the door.
It's around my foot.
Everybody still there? Break my machine here. All right. Testing one, two. Okay. So you know that.
Why is it recording? I didn't ask it to record.
It just means it's recording the video. It doesn't mean it's saving the recording.
Good job. Don't worry about it. Not a big deal. All right. So, anybody have questions about that Esau scripture? That's always interesting. That Esau scripture has to do with the Edomites, not just Esau. But it's a pretty devilish thing to think that God's already decided if he loves you or hates you.
Well, I'm wondering if it's the same as hate your mother and father. It doesn't mean hate your mother and father. It means love God so much that you hate your mother and father in comparison. Maybe it's because he loved Jacob so much. It was like
Mark, that's the best answer I've ever come up with. It's really good. Yeah. And so when somebody asks you that, you ask them, well, do you hate your mother and father? And I've never had a person say, yes, I do. No, they say no. Why are you asking me that? And then, you know, they ought to know if we're arguing about this. Anyway, no, you're so it's a and that's a Jewish comparison thing, that you love someone so much that anyone else in comparison pales and it's counted as hatred, not actual hatred, but just that love is so strong in priority that everything else
falls way below it. And that's how God feels about Jacob. Jacob is who the line is going to come through. Jacob is who Jesus Christ is going to come through. Just the fact that he chose Jacob to be that line is enough to say Jacob he loved and Esau not as much. Anyway, there's that. He died for both of them. I think that's enough love for what manner of love has man than this. And they lay down his life for his friends. Anyway, there's all that.
Esau is still a grandson of Abraham.
Yep, he is. He is. But it's also, you know, Paul uses that whole story to say not everyone born of Abraham is of Abraham. It's really interesting. It takes more than being in the family line of Abraham. His true family line is faith. It's faith that we become heirs to the promise and co-heirs with Jesus. So that's cool. I like that. Can we think of another son that is born of Abraham, but not of Abraham? One ought to come to mind, but somehow we forget him.
Call me Ishmael.
There it is. Ishmael. Yeah. Born of Abraham, but not of faith. Not
counted as a son of Abraham by God.
Yeah.
Your only son.
Yeah. Yep. Wild stuff, huh? Are there any prayer requests?
Yes, definitely.
Let's hear it.
Well, first, a positive. My mom had cataract surgery this week, and it seemed to go very well. So thank God for that. But, you know, just as soon as we get through that, and my mom doesn't mind me sharing this with y'all, but she's been diagnosed with cancer.
No.
The good news is it's very early and things seem to be optimistic. It's probably, they're talking surgery, but it's very early. It sounds like it's going to be treatable and everything, but I do appreciate y'all's prayers. It's just a trial.
Yeah. We're going to pray for that right now. Larry McNeil is somebody, Kathy McNeil, member of Redemption. Her husband, Larry McNeil, he fell this week and broke his leg. He's fighting cancer. So he broke his femur. Let's pray. Ouch. He had surgery on it today. So let's pray for his leg healing and also healing of cancer. Mark, how can we pray for you, man?
Just that I'm able to complete the task that I've been given. I got a complete one. It's kind of chaotic here. They'll put you on a project and then they'll change the priorities and they'll take you off of that one and put you on another one and they'll change the so it looks like I've been on four projects and accomplished nothing.
Oh no. Okay.
Yeah, but they keep moving me, the priorities keep changing.
All right, we're gonna pray for that. Job tasks and favor. Clyde Fluitt, you're gonna be traveling. What else can we pray about? You're muted. Can you hear me, Clyde Fluitt?
You're muted, Clyde.
Trying to charge my phone. Oh. Okay. If you're in here, it's gonna feedback.
I know.
Oh, what? How can we pray about? What can prayer request? What I'm
Road safety.
All right, got it. All right, he wants us to pray. He's one of our cousins passed away, and so he's traveling down to the hill country of Texas.
Is that like the mountains of Indiana, but different?
They're actually more like hills. I mean, every once in a while we have a tall one, but it's well, nothing.
Indiana probably like known for its flatland.
Oh, really?
Southern Indiana's got these little rolling hills, and Dad calls them the mountains of Indiana.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that joke. That's funny.
Is it anybody I know?
His name is Happy Fluitt. I don't think you've ever met him.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Let's continue to pray for Aria. Let's pray for she's got a tumor, and let's pray that God would be real to her, that she would know Jesus.
Do we know where she is?
Not really, no. She's anywhere from, I get little reports on my phone that say where her next doctor's appointment is. Those doctor's appointments are anywhere from Houston to Dallas. No, wait, Austin to Dallas, which is still like 400 yeah. miles or so, 300 something miles. So it's like, I don't know. She could be in Waco. She could be anywhere. It's wild. So, hey, Cheeseburger, if you see a little girl named Aria Brown, you know, you might reach out. She's about 8 years old and has a tumor, probably in a wheelchair. All right. My wife's legs have been hurting. Let's pray for Sarah's legs. All right. Excellent. And Hudson wasn't feeling good today. He had to come home from school. All right. I am going to send this if I can. Let's see. Do I just push enter? There we go. Did that pop up for everybody?
It sure did.
All right. We're going to pray together, and we know that the Lord is with us. He's going to meet these needs. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for seeing Cheryl Hill through her eye surgery. God, we pray complete healing in her eyes, and we pray against that cancer. In Jesus' name, that cancer, we command it not to spread. We command it to dry up and be no more. In Jesus' name, we pray that every cell of cancer would be overcome with the good cells in her body, in Jesus' name. I pray for Larry McNeil right now, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would touch his body, that you would heal his leg, God. Lord, touch him in that hospital. Be very close to him. Let him feel your spirit and let him feel your healing. God, we rebuke that cancer. We come against it in Jesus' name. I pray healing for him in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for Mark's job task, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would all come through, that he would have complete success at everything he's touching there. Lord, and I pray for favor in his job. I pray for favor with his employees. Lord, I pray, Lord, that when his bosses look at him, that the favor of God just works in his favor, God. Lord, I pray for Clyde, Lord, that you would be with him in his safe travels. Lord, help him, Lord, to be a minister, yes. Lord, to those Jesus, people Jesus, that are our family down Jesus, there in the country. Jesus, Lord, we pray for Jesus, Aria. Lord, Jesus, we come against Jesus. That tumor, and we declare thank Jesus you, to be real. Let her know
thank
Jesus.
You, thank you,
we
Lord.
Pray for the family that's watching out for her. Lord, let that family be covered by Jesus. Let them be drawn to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for my wife Sarah's legs, God. Bring healing to her legs. Bring healing to Hudson, God. Lord, we want him to be well. Lord, we praise you, God. We thank you. You're meeting every one of these needs. It's what you do. Nothing's too hard for you. We're trusting you in all things. We thank you, Lord. Help us to finish out this week. Help us to be your people. Help us to be close to you and meet with us when we come together on Sunday, wherever we are in service, Lord. However we're plugging in, Lord, help us to be plugging in. In Jesus' name we pray.
Jesus, thank you, Lord. Amen.
Yeah. Mark, were you able to jump in on Tuesday night?
I wasn't. I got back home and I literally fell asleep almost instantly.
Well, it's still up. You can still plug in. You just you know where it's at, redemptionplano.com /at home. Yeah.
Yep.
Good. Well, cool, man. Please stay plugged in with us. We appreciate it.
If I miss, it's not because I'm avoiding you.
you're just resting in the Lord, you know?
Yeah. The lights are definitely get turned off as soon as I get home.
Sabbath. This guy's keeping the Sabbath every day. Keeping after the work. Sabbath. He's just going into a Sabbath slumber.
Yeah. it's like when God put Abraham to sleep to do the figure of eight.
Oh, yeah.
In the furnace.
Yeah.
I'm not asleep.
Yeah. And the, you know, the cutting of the covenant, that interesting thing. Is there a figure eight there? What's the figure eight?
They cut the cow in two and then they walk figure eights between it. That's how they do a covenant. The word covenant literally means.
So when it says pass between, that's what it is. It's actually.
Yes.
Whoa.
An infinity symbol, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always read there's a firebrand and the furnace. The firebrand was Jesus and the furnace is God the Father. So it was actually a covenant between Jesus and God the Father. About Abraham. Abraham played no part in that covenant other than it was for his benefit as well.
Well, it's definitely part, it's a covenant with God, and there's a mediator in it, right? There's a mediator, and we know that the man Christ Jesus is the mediator between us and God, and that was the promise also that the seed would come.
I think that was where it was always planned that Jesus would sacrifice himself, the Son would sacrifice himself, but I think that was where the promise was made to do so.
Yeah, well, you can go all the way back to Hebrews 3:15, and you know the his heel will be bruised. Really shows that even further back Genesis. Than that. Yeah. What?
Genesis 3:15.
Yeah, sorry, Genesis 3:15. Is where, you know, his heel will be bruised. So that shows that the promise of that seed, it was already declared.
Yes.
And of course, we go back to, we've got this tree of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, what is Jesus?
The tree of life.
Crucified on a tree. He's crucified on a tree. So he is the tree of life being crucified probably on that sinful tree of knowledge of good and evil. However you want to see that. But even more than that, what I really love is this picture, and it took me a long time. I don't know if I've ever really heard anybody preach it. Is that even had Adam and Eve not sinned, if mankind had never sinned, it was still God's plan to incarnate and dwell among us, and that blows my mind. That's really amazing. And there's a scripture that is really instrumental in that says that Adam was made after the pattern of the one to come. And so that reverses what you think. You would think that Jesus was made after the pattern of Adam being the last Adam, but actually the first Adam is patterned after the one to come. So Jesus is the blueprint. So it was always God's plan. It was already when he created Adam, he already had a pattern in mind. So that's really interesting. Of course, there's amazing things there. There's the very image of God, you know, Colossians 1:15. You want to see God, it's Jesus.
That's right.
Yeah.
Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's what he said. And that's quite a statement, right?
Right.
None of us can say that and it be true. But Jesus says it, and it's not just figuratively true. It's literally true. Yeah. It's powerful. All right. Well, I've got phone calls back here. I don't know what's happening.
But, Clyde's calling you.
Clyde, no, come on. Well, I love you guys. I'm glad to hang out and talk about the Lord and scriptures. And I love that. It's always good. Yeah. Real quick, I read this week, I forgot this. This is one I forgot. I knew at one point, but I forgot. We know the woman with the issue of blood, she reaches out and touches
the hem
of his garment. Well, there's another place in scripture, like few chapters later, that says crowds of people kept trying to reach after Jesus to touch the hem of his garment. So that like really caught on, and people were, thinking that that would bring healing to them as well. I thought that was really interesting. I had some thoughts about that. I thought were interesting. Like maybe somebody touched his hem, but they didn't really touch him like she did. They didn't have the faith right. like she did. And who knows what they're happened. That's really
turning interesting. Into religiosity already. Religiosity yep. already.
We make everything religious rather than relationship. Yep. Yep. All right, guys. Well, I guess I'll catch y'all later.
All right.
You made it.
Y'all have a good Friday and then enjoy that weekend. All right. Boom. All right.
See y'all.
Love y'all. All right. Bye.